Here's a song. It's about Christmas.
Dog had told me to take my mind off that weed. Now by the third day of Christmas, my big homeboy gave to me a whole lot of everything, and it wasn't up a game to me.
Back then you woke up to the sound. I saw mama kissing Santa, made you reminisce on the old-fashioned Christmas days. Yes, miss a fat man jolly with joy down your chimney with toys for little girls and boys. Pumped up, I jumped up before the sun peeped in and hoped to catch a Santa Claus creeping down my hall. Went to the window, put my eyes to the sky, cause it's I can see the sleigh that parlay and push the fat guy. I sigh, ain't no sign, but everything under this tree in my house is mine. My bike that and this plastic nine to do fine till next year come. I try to see the same thing, they got us brainwashed up. And when you find it ain't no Santa, Christmas still mean a lot, cause it's the time to get together and give all you got. You got food, good moods, and what's better than together with your peoples? Wear wishes, give a toast by the tree, it's Merry Christmas.
Santa Claus on the ceiling, Jack Frost chilling, pinch the Grinch for being a holiday villain. Season's greetings, all the proceeds are brought to you by the church house where we'll be eating chestnuts roasting on the open fire, singing my jingle, where is Kris Kringle? I didn't cop and I ain't even shout. I even stayed in the house when the homies tried to sneak me out. Now all I want for Christmas is my 6-4 Chevrolet and a granddaughter for her grandmother Beverly. Ain't that something? Nah, ain't that nothing? How it's Christmas time and my rhyme steady bumping. Everybody happy, hair still nappy, gonna steal a gift for my old grandpappy. Catch me giving out turkeys at the church house. Don't try to work me, just stand in line and everything gonna be fine. Holla at your folks, boys, going damn. Ain't no helps from no elves, just a dog pan. And we passing out gifts, blazing up splits. Christmas on the road, can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Santa Claus.
And boys full of joy with the season cheer. Smell the sky, hella pies and cakes getting baked. To be ate after everything gone off your plate. But wait, not tonight, it's straight beans and rice. On the table, are we able to receive tonight? I wonder what the morn bringing, so it's hard to doze off. 3 o'clock in my socks, I crack the dope song. Hoping when I open the door, I see Santa. Now who the hell is this in this blue bandana? Messing with the boxes that's up under the tree. Look like Santa Claus then crossed into a woman to me. Now I'm coming to see the whole picture get clearer. How we have less as Xmas get nearer. Mirror, mirror, please, it seems I've been deceived. And thank it, Saint Trick, for the gifts I received. So I creep back and act like I ain't even peeped it. To be me and mom's private secret.
Santa Claus is coming straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus is coming straight to the
ghetto.
very special episode of Jury Saturday. Joy, I don't normally have guests, but today I have guests. He is not only somebody that you are or anything else, but he's also a good friend. I don't know. There's no way that I can list all the ways that we are affiliated without sounding gay. So,
yeah,
a friend, a confidant, co-worker. Ladies and gentlemen, Brett, the Amtrak of Roundsville. Because then,
you didn't say hetero life mate. Once you that's get, the one I was
well,
scared
also
of.
Once you get to roommate, like yeah. It's like, all right, well, these guys are gay,
right? Clearly,
Brett is joining me today because I don't know. I figured, hell, instead of Brett sitting there in the living room playing iPad games while I yell in my room conspicuously, why don't we bring him in for the fun? So. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Obviously, the holidays are in full swing. And to give people an update real quick on how we began the show last week, which was, if you do not, we're not here to watch it. It was me screaming about the fact that $3,000 had been stolen from me in a credit card fraud scheme between Hagerstown, Maryland, and Shippensburg, Pennsylvania. That has been refunded. So, I have the money back, and now the big question is, maybe it'll be a running theme here, is where am I going to give $3,000 in charity?
I'm glad that's the direction you went in. I thought the running theme was that you get ripped off of $3,000 every week.
No, no, no. That would be, it'd be like an open challenge. Hey, did you think you can rip me off, pussies? Huh?
Challenge accepted.
Exactly. As I'm robbed blind. So there we go. We're going to figure that out, and we'll talk about that going forward. But I definitely want to do something funny. Do something good, but also something, the funniest possible thing I can do with $3,000 for charity, I want to do. That's the goal. And this is all money that was derived from the Diamond Club book. This is my cut after our big party at Dragon Con, after buying books for everybody, stuff like that. So we'll get to that in a second. I do want to begin the show today by talking about something a little bit slightly more somber. Obviously, there was a big thing, a big news story that's been all over the place. It was the shooting at an elementary school in Connecticut yesterday. 28 dead, I believe 20 of them were children. There's a lot of angles to talk about this, and I'm going to talk about really the only one that I think I have any level of expertise on, and it's not the political one, and it's even not the media analysis one. It's how people reacted yesterday. And I'm not saying it's necessarily a negative thing, although I do think that there were negative elements to it, But Brett, were you on social media when this happened?
No, briefly. I was running a game in Palo Alto, so I missed a lot of the early stuff. But that doesn't mean if at any point you were on social media yesterday, you weren't still bombarded with pretty much the same levels.
Now, if you were to describe, let's say somebody comes in from a land without internet, okay, and they ask you, how did people react to this? We are obviously in an unprecedented era of being able to share our feelings in an unlimited and broad nature. How did people react? How would you describe? And obviously this is all shaped by, because I hate it when people are like, people on Twitter are going crazy. And it's like, yeah, maybe. But also, you're very niched in Twitter. You are following your followers, you know? So anyway, how would you describe, what was your sphere like?
Well, the way I tried to describe it yesterday was like, it's this really inappropriate race to be the first guy to say something profound or touching or smart. And in that race to be the first guy to say that smart thing, instead, you get 100 billion people all saying really stupid things in the hopes that they're going to tap that one vein. But they're not thinking, they're racing.
Yeah. And I think here's my point. Number one, there's a question about the pipes for which we get this information. Facebook and Twitter are IVs to our souls. You know, normally we have feelings, we have thoughts, we react to them, and we can kind of manage them and edit them to a certain point. Some people may be better at that than others. But when something like this happens, it's hard because not only do people have unfettered access, but also it's such a gigantic thing that there's nobody on the side, except somebody pointed out the Westboro Baptist Church, who's going to say this is a good thing. You know, and even them, you know, they have their circuitous, is that a word, circuitous, logic to get there. You know, that they think it's a good, whatever, I'm not even going to waste time explaining how they operate. But we blame
Although clearly
things.
How they operate works, if even you're willing to talk about it briefly.
Well, yeah, I mean, because it is interesting. I mean, like, in a logical, you know, in a let's explain how these people operate, they have their own logic. They're like a science fiction movie. A great science fiction movie. They have their own rules, and they do stick by them.
Yeah.
You know, it just brings us to a bizarre place. You know, and not to say, I'm not saying they're not absolute cunts. They are. They're cunts. Anybody who does the things that they do are terrible people. You know, I'm just saying that, like, it's not blind scattershot nonsense. Like, they have their reasons for doing things, as bizarre as they are. But in terms of what happened yesterday, nobody's going to say this was great. Everybody is a big ball of emotion, and they are going to talk about things for which they know how to talk about. Because to talk about what happened is impossible. It's unfathomably sad, and you can't yell at somebody, and that's all we want to do. Is if this guy was alive, he would be the trial of the century.
Yeah.
If we got him, and we would pay attention to him in the way that we pay attention to lunatics like the David Berkowitz and Charlie Manson and shit like that. Like, we have this weird fascination with them because we, A, want to continue to see them punished, and B, we wonder how a brain can get to this. So, which brings us to what was discussed yesterday, which was, by and large, the biggest thing that I think people wound up pooling on was gun control, and that has continued today. People want to talk a lot about gun control. Now, let me ask you this. If I were to tell you that the best way to have this conversation was to just mandatorily ban everybody for 72 hours, would you agree with me or would you disagree with me? Do you think that there's a value in people being what I would say is clearly hysterical in the immediate aftermath?
I would go you one better. I would say you don't need to ban people from talking about it for 72 hours. You need to force people to think about it for 72 hours before they're allowed to speak.
Yeah. And now, I would say also that this is something that's not just on social media. You know, I was reading columns today that to me were obviously very, very hysterical, but they were hugely popular because they tapped into the zeitgeist of what was going on. You know, there's one a column from, and I forget his last name, but a columnist for the New Yorker that basically says, if you support what they describe, and I'll try to be fair, as fair as I can to their words, if you support the NRA's definition, now obviously they have a very negative view of what the NRA is, if you support their definition of the Second Amendment, you are culpable for the death of these children. Now, I personally think that's unfair. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's a little unfair. It's massively popular. I've seen it retweeted 3 or 4 times, like you said, in terms of the, well, you know, you want to be the person who is, you know, something that's retweeted. People are sending this around. And I think that if it was not written with social media in mind, it certainly is gaining a exposure because it speaks to a common thought that is being spread around on social media.
Right. It was definitely written with the idea that it should spread. And social media is the way things spread now. I mean, that's the same for any newspaper or article ever written. But still, that's the reason it was written quickly. That's the reason it was put out there. And that's the reason it is so inflammatory.
Now, one of the things that was also a big story about what happened yesterday and has been talked a lot about on social media is the relative facts of the case. Not the case. What happened? And specifically, where media members went with certain things. And, for example, the name that we all knew yesterday. If you only read about this shit yesterday, and now you're coming online and you're like, oh, I want to find out about it, you might be surprised to find out that the name of the killer has changed from Ryan to Adam. The reason that is because Ryan Lanza had nothing to do with this. It was his brother, Adam, that did it. But all yesterday, we heard that the killer lived in Hoboken, New Jersey, was named Ryan. And his Facebook photo was all over the place. And that was apparently because, I don't know, I guess the Adam kid had one of his brother's identification cards on him or something like that. But you've been a big fan of the newsroom, right? Which is something that has dealt with these themes a lot. Yeah. And I saw a lot of comparisons to that online. But, you know, what is your reaction? You know, do you take this stuff seriously? Have you found yourself after watching the newsroom thinking about that stuff more or less?
I may spend a little more time thinking about the whys and the hows that the news spreads, but in a situation like this, I'm very cognizant of the idea that I can't do anything about it. And so I was pretty absent from social media once I saw that that's all that was happening yesterday. It didn't behoove me to spend any time trying to understand why people were saying what they were saying or whether or not what they were saying was even correct, because it likely wasn't.
Yeah.
And turned out to actually.
To actually be not, in fact, correct. There's anger, man.
Yeah.
A lot of anger. A lot of just, and I don't know if it was constructive anger. But then again, I don't know if it's supposed to be constructive. I don't know if in that moment, if anything constructive can come out of that hysteria. The one thing that I would disagree with is that, you know, you have a lot of people that were talking about staying mad. Capture this feeling. Stay mad. Which sounds a lot to me like a wild mob. Like,
if you're not mad tomorrow, how are you going to sharpen your pitchfork tonight?
Exactly. And again, I don't think that this is... And I don't know. I'm curious to hear from you guys in the chat room right now. But, like, do you think that this time is constructive? Do you think that these hysterical elements are something that we can use or build upon? Because I don't know if when they're negative, like, obviously there was a lot of talk after 9/11 about, like, well, now we're all one America, you know? And then you had people, you know, it's like afterwards, like, oh, remember the peace after 9/11? And like, now it's gone. It's never there. I mean, like, we were all hysterical. We were in shock. We were crying. You know, like, it was never like we all came to an agreement. Like, well, now we're unhyphenating America. And like, you know, the Klan guy comes and hugs the Hindu. Like, you know, that didn't happen. You know, well,
actually, there was something reassuring about how yesterday was more like, yeah, we're still two Americas. Well done, guys. Way to not move forward in any way.
Well, and here's the only other problem, and this is as deep as I'm going to get about the gun control issue, is I am all for hearing more about possible gun control stuff. What bothers me about it is when people talk about it like it's just a very simple law.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you would just say... Like, because even abortion, as controversial as abortion is, that's a simple law. They're illegal. You can't do them anymore. We're now banning that. If you were to be a pro-life person, that's what you want, is define, and the only thing we ever argue about is, you know, rape or incest, stuff like that. These very, very clear niches. Otherwise, the fix that some would like to say is just, it's not allowed to be done. If you're a doctor, you'll be stripped of your license, and if you're found to do it, you'll go to jail. With guns, like, is the question we never sell a gun anymore? Is the question that we now confiscate every gun? is the question that anybody who is found to have a gun, what do we do to people who legally have guns now? Do we take them away? You know, do we force them to sell it back? Like, it's not an easy thing.
Well, the more important thing is, well, I mean, obviously there's a route, but even if you said, all right, I have this great idea for a very simple gun control law, it's still going to take years to disassemble the multiple gun control laws that every state has right now.
Yeah. And not only that, but, like, look at the fact that there is industries, an entire industries based around the concept of personal firearms between, you know, like, not only just the sale of them, but also hunting and you know, various other recreational sports. Like, there are elements to that would need to be scaled back or disassembled, and the government would officially be saying, congratulations, you are now can't do this. You are now a drug dealer. And so it bothers me when it comes down to, hey, you stink. Your blood's on your hands if you think that there should be guns in this country. Which, listen, let's talk about what we're doing. Let's talk about what's effective in curtailing it. But I think to point to other countries and say, well, just do what they're doing. I mean, the cat's kind of out of the bag here, you know? A lot of guns on the street. Drew Sefer says, how about this? We watched the ammo. Most of those mass shootings ammunitions were purchased in large quantities quickly. You could easily watch the ammo and at the very least, knock on some doors, right? I mean, I don't know. That sounds fine to me. Like, if you're like, hey, I want enough ammo that I could take down a town. Like, yeah, maybe you should have to get a call. Like, when somebody, you know, whenever you spend, like, three, like, expensive things on your credit card and they call you and they're like, hey, you just spend all this money?
I don't know. That seems a little strange because, well, as someone who comes from a very long line of rednecks and has bought ammo several times, I feel like you only ever buy it in large enough quantities to kill lots of people. Not that that's what you're buying it to do.
But you're buying it in bulk because it's expensive.
Right, yeah. And, I mean, best case scenario, you're buying a box of, what, like 50 rounds. That's still 50 dead people, potentially. I mean, or it could be 50 holes in a piece of paper.
So let's say, all right, Alternerd says, but where do you draw the line? 50 or 100 rounds or something more? Like, well, I don't know. How about 2,000? If you're buying 2,000 rounds, and I don't know whether this guy, and that's the other thing, is that, you know, when you look at what happened yesterday, I think it's legitimate to say, let's look at the gun control laws in Connecticut. Because if your answer is more laws, let's look at how these laws are working and look at, if we do want to do more laws, what they are going to do and whether or not these are working. Because if the point of these gun control laws were to stop somebody shooting somebody, they obviously failed yesterday. Would they fail more if now the problem was way bigger? Apparently, wow, a lot of hunters here. A lot of people who talk about buying a large scale ammunition. Maybe I should sponsor the show.
Well, that's the thing. I really do support what these guys are saying in here, in that 50 rounds is not a lot of rounds by any stretch. That's like, if you're going out, again, long line of rednecks to go shoot cans with your family, you're definitely going to buy more than 50 rounds.
Shoot cans with your family?
Who doesn't in the mountains? I grew up in the mountains,
well,
bro.
I'm not accusing. I'm asking, illuminate me. I grew up in the suburbs of very flat lands.
Yeah, absolutely. Where I lived, we would walk out our back door and shoot guns. We would also go to like a rifle range. Like, I've been trap shooting and skeet shooting dozens of times in my life.
Yeah.
It's a fun pastime. There's nothing wrong with it as long as you're not pointing it at people. There's a lot to be learned about guns.
What would you say the biggest lesson for you personally growing up about guns was? Like, what was the thing that you took away as an impressionable youngster?
I think like shooting things like cans or something as opposed to paper targets is really enlightening because you see firsthand how much damage a tiny piece of metal can do.
Yeah.
And that makes it very easy to wrap your head around. Don't let this get pointed at me or anyone else I love.
Yeah. Oh, man. Delahenty says, Brett was like Carl on The Walking Dead. But I do think that there is, and like you said, grew up in the mountains, long line of rednecks. There's a fundamental cultural difference between how people in the city look at guns and people in the non-cities look at guns, the rest of the country. And for me, and I think, and this was a point brought up to me by a friend of mine, I think that the basis of this is the response time for potential law enforcement. That when you are in a small town outside of a city where law enforcement, you know, the police force is not gigantic, you know, late at night when bad things happen, someone tries to do harm to you or your family, it will take them longer to get there. And that's where having your own stopping power, to me, as somebody who has not been in that situation, I can empathize with that idea. That if it's like, it's going to take somebody from wherever, you know, the cop car is then, if there's a couple cop cars out on the road at 1 o'clock in the morning, I hear somebody getting ready to screw around, you know, to break in my house, then they're not going to get there. And now it's either I let this guy do whatever he wants, if he has a weapon, or I would like to have a weapon to defend myself. So, I don't know.
I wish I were joking when I said growing up, mountain lions were a much bigger concern than robbers.
Really?
I mean, they weren't a huge concern, but like if like there were a reason scene... to, if there were a reason to have a gun in the house, it was a mountain lion, not a robber.
So what would, how would mountain lions fuck with you? Like, would they like paw at the door? Like,
no, they wouldn't come. Like, they lived on the same mountain we lived on. You can hear, like, they are creepy, dude. They have yeah. you ever heard a mountain lion call? It's like a woman screaming bloody murder.
Can you do the call?
I could scream like a woman, like who is being bloodily murdered. So,
yeah,
redneck family.
All right, no, but I'm curious about this mountain lion thing. So, yeah. like, they, like, do they eat? Like, are they like deer? Do they like eat shit outside of your house? Like,
no, they're carnivores. They don't come down and eat your carrots.
Well, it's listen again. I don't know. I don't know about this.
No, they eat. At one point, all of our cats were gone. We can only assume thanks to a much bigger cat.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they'll eat their own.
Well, it's not their own. It's a tiny little house cat versus like a 200-pound lion.
But we don't eat like midgets. We're not like, hey, you're smaller than me. Maybe.
Simon Birch.
I don't know. Can I mention that?
I don't know either. Maybe not.
Okay. But like, so they would go and they'd eat cats.
And I feel like you're hung up on this. There was a carnivore.
It's a fascinating
there was a giant
thing.
Carnivore that lived on the same mountain we lived
Ladies
on.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the chat room, do me a favor. Like, let me know in the chat room whether or not you want me to ask more questions about this mountain lion problem for which plagued the Rounceville family.
It wasn't a huge problem. We were just prepared
to
in
have
case...
a gun.
Well, okay, but we had guns before there was a mountain lion problem, too. It wasn't like that.
Yeah.
We didn't go out and purchase a special mountain
this
lion.
This is even more fascinating. So there was a time before, like, there was, like,
there's the old BM.
The old tale. Like, well, we used to be able to let you go outside. That was before the lions.
Oh, man. Like, we would still go out, like during the day, it's not, like, it's the tried and true story about how wild animals are more scared of you than you are of them, but that doesn't mean they can't get really close to you.
Probably they're not scared of cats.
No, definitely not scared of cats.
Eating those motherfuckers like Alf.
Yeah. All right. Brett, did you have to fight off other versions of Mac OS X too?
Yes. Were there any snow leopards?
No.
All right. So there we go. The other thing that I wanted to talk about today was Christmas shopping. Because I'm bad at it.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe it? On a scale of 1 to 10, Brett, where would you rank yourself as a Christmas shopper? Factor in the time you spend thinking about it, the mm-hmm. time you spend doing it, mm-hmm. the quality, the reaction to the presents. Like, what do you think you are on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, man. I feel like I usually knock it out pretty quickly and mostly with online shopping, but not without way too much overthinking. I spend entirely too much time staring at pages full of things, trying to imagine how much the person would actually use it. Because, I mean, also, you know that I come from a world of, like, need, not a world of
wild
want.
Animals.
All right, good, good. I'm glad we're still talking about mountain lions.
All I can think of is just, like a very picturesque kind of family situation. Everyone's sitting, kids, you and your sister are playing a board game, your dad and your mom. Like, dad's reading a magazine, your mom's doing something. And then all of a sudden, literally, like, through the window, geez,
you're such a city folk.
Mountain lion. Or no, sorry. Apparently, the woman screaming bloody murder. All four family members whipping out a piece. Taking it down.
Your world is not mine.
Well, this is what happens. This is your mysterious mountain lore. Like, you know the beginning of a story. Yeah, mountain lions were a bigger problem than criminals. Anyway,
well, of course than criminals. We're like 45 minutes from a grocery store. You wouldn't even be able to find your house if you wanted to rob from us.
You don't think that, like, maybe, like... It's not like mountain rapists, like...
You actually, you know what? We didn't see the lions all that often. It could have been a mountain rapist up there, and that could be the screaming woman. Like, there could be a bunch of manhandled women just laying all over the mountain we used to live on. How do I know? You don't see them. They don't come crashing through the window, and you don't whip out your gun.
The mountain lion's roar is actually like, roar!
Grrr!
Sorry, guys. We were trying to let you know about that mountain rapist. Got another one! Ha ha!
Oh, that's Christmas shopping.
Christmas
huh?
shopping, yeah, go ahead. All right, so Christmas shopping.
So, like, I'm a big fan of trying to buy things that people need as opposed to things that people want, and that requires way more effort in a world where people, by and large, have everything they could possibly need. We're like a society of, like, overconsumption, for sure.
Yeah.
So it's really difficult for me in the planning stages.
Is it but, like, overconsumption once I'm set, it's or, like, or, like, just rapid consumption. Like, I feel like we're constantly, like, it's not like we can't justify the need for other stuff. And we're certainly, we average more than other civilizations, right? Even in, like, today's era. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know why I got hung up on that. So, all right, you feel like you think about it a lot, but then you usually nail it.
Yeah, well, once I'm done thinking, I pull the trigger, I don't mess around. Like, it's time to go shopping, get the shopping done, and leave.
All right. Put a percentage on all the shopping you have to do for 2012, and then tell me how much of that you have done.
I have, like, probably 98%. Like, anything else I buy from now on is going to be, like, something where I think of it between now and Christmas and realize, oh, that would have been an even better idea.
But
I
you
should
have,
add that to the list.
But you have your main...
Yeah, I'm done enough right now.
Gotcha. You could fall into a coma after a mountain lion attacks you. You could be whisked away with the mountain rapist.
We don't even have that place anymore. We live much further down. Oh, you've been there. You've been to where we live now. Yeah. It's just coyotes and deer down there.
Ambles up and he's just like, well, I was just looking for a place to stay the night.
You know when it late is.
He's not the mountain rapist.
No, he is the mountain rapist. But he starts off, and then he's like, oh, just a kindly mountain drifter. Of course you can sleep here.
Also, no such thing as kindly mountain drifters.
Have you ever met a mountain drifter?
No.
Mountain drifters?
No.
Why not?
Who drifts in the mountain? What an awful place to drift.
I mean, cities are an awful place for homeless people to live.
Well, they still get, like, handed stuff all the time. If you're a mountain drifter, you either are literally killing the mountain lion to eat it, or you're just wandering around and falling asleep under a tree, wishing that you had a hamburger and 20 cents from a stranger that walked by on his way to work.
Why isn't that the solution to the mountain lion problem? Like, you know how they'll, like, introduce...
Feed them homeless people? No, what is wrong with you?
No. Well, I mean, listen. No, I'm not saying feed them homeless people. I'm saying, listen, you go to survivalists. Like, you know how, like, they'll introduce...
So we're training the homeless people to live in the wild?
Follow me.
All right.
You know how they'll introduce species, like, into nature to combat another species, right?
Yeah.
And let's suspend the fact that many times this has proven to be a terrible idea.
And let's ignore for the fact that this has never worked out for the best.
But let's understand it as a strategy.
All right.
All right? So you go to some survivalists.
It's not enough that it's an actual bad premise. It's a bad premise founded on a lifetime of bad ideas.
Follow me. So you get these survivalists, and you put them in areas with high mountain lion populations. And you say, listen, here's the only thing. You can't have a home. You have to live. You're a killing machine 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And then, I don't know, like, we'll take care of your family or something.
Your family? So they have a family, but they're not. It's not. It doesn't behoove them.
No,
to
right, so
get
you
away.
Got a bunch of lonely, weird drifters that are like, yeah, I never did amount to much. All I ever wanted to
I
do
only
was
have
kill
one
animals.
Skill.
It's like, but I can take care of my pa, my ma, cousin Sissy. And they just airdrop them in to where these mountain lions are.
I don't even know where to start as to like which part of that is the worst up part of the idea. It's so many shades of awful.
You don't think it will work though?
There aren't a ton of mountain lions. There's like one per like 15 square miles.
So you just need one,
like that.
One dude.
Well, this is going to be a very small federal program. If this is another entitlement issue.
Thanks, Obama. So there we go. We aired, all right, Christmas shopping. I would be the opposite. I would all say right. That I am terrible at it. You said 98, you could be done.
Yeah.
If I were whisked away by the mountain rapist, I'd be fucked. I have zero.
Literally.
Well, and figuratively.
Mostly literally.
I mean, yes. Sure, he is the mountain rapist. Maybe if you kind of like, if you got it there and you're like, well, would you like some tea? It's like, I don't know, are you going to start raping? Like, no, that's just a figure of speech. I raped the shit out of this tea, though.
I just can't imagine any scenario where rapist is a figure of speech.
You know, I just live up here in the mountains, and it started about 30 years ago. Someone came up and said hello, and I made some tea for them, and they were like, well, man, you raped the shit out of that tea.
So why did you whisk me away, sir?
I get lonely.
But not
and also, I
gonna
see
rape
if,
me.
Want to see if I still got it, tea-wise.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. This is delicious tea, but again, you kidnap me, and your name is the Mountain Rapist.
Well, technically, my first name's Mountain. Mountain Jones, pleasure to meet you.
Mountain Jones, the Rapist.
You know how nicknames stick? Well, what are you gonna do? Anyway, I guess I'll chloroform you and return you to your home. Mountain Jones, rapist, DDS. So yeah, I'd be terrible. I mean, I am terrible. I don't know what I'm gonna get, and I've relied now. I've been more prone to not getting everything done because A, for the first time in many, many years, I have money to actually buy things where normally, for some reason, I was quicker to buy things when I didn't have money because it was like, listen, I got to put this all on credit anyway. So like, let me just get it done.
Like, did you buy like cheaper things or you bought like basically the same stuff you just put
stuff.
On credit?
Yeah. Cause I'm a horrifying money manager. And also like what I've done to enable my shitty money habits is just say, listen, you are in a high risk, high reward business being on the internet, especially with the kind of stuff that I was doing before and I'm still doing now. So it's like at some point, this is all down payment and you're gonna make a bunch of money and you're gonna be able to wipe out all this debt. Which by and large has actually happened. But it was because I got the job at the Go Game.
Right.
And also other things. Like, now online stuff has made more money for me this year than it has previous. Unless you're Uncle Sam.
Okay, so riddle me this. Like, what section of people do you need to still buy gifts for? Or is it all of them? Like,
mom, brother, girlfriend, everybody else.
And do you have any plans in place? Or you're literally just, like, groping around in the darkness that is Christmas time?
No, I'm figuring that, like, there's going to be a solid, like, especially now, like, because we're not working as much. Like,
yeah.
And there's just going to be a solid 6 hours one day where I'm just going to be like, yep, boom, 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 boom. Knock it all out.
Yeah.
We're done. Yeah. And also, because I'm not going home, I'll just be able to get that shit gift wrapped on Amazon. And just have it sent right out. So I don't got to worry about that turnaround.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's the way to go. Like, you're winning. Who cares?
So you would say that this is, it's not a bad habit.
No, if you know that you're going to set aside 6 hours and knock out everything and then not have to work, that is efficient is all it is.
Well, it's also, like, not real. Like, I don't know. I'm saying
so where's
to
the
myself,
problem? You have the cash to spend the money on the gifts this year.
Yeah.
You know who you have to buy for. You know where you're going to buy it. You may not know exactly what you're going to buy, and you know how you're going
to transport
it to these
people. I know that everything I buy
people.
Will be Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You win. How is this a problem? You may be better at Christmas shopping than I am.
I feel bad about myself.
Why?
Because there's fuckers like you who are done already. You could be enjoying tea at the Mountain Rapist Den.
But I wasn't enjoying it.
No problem here, Mountain Rapist. Another cup of tea, please.
Do you have an Earl Grey?
You are the S out of that one. You're laughing with a Mountain Rapist. You guys are exchanging tales.
And yet, at the end, he's still like, well, it's been a great evening. Time to rape. Like, at the end, he's like...
He starts ambling over. You're like, oh, more tea?
No.
But there is going to be some A. Your A. And he starts ambling over. Then, boom! Mountain lion!
Through the window. And luckily, you're the only guy prepared with a gun.
He starts tearing his throat out. Like, the mountain lion just covered in blood. And you have the gun on him, and the mountain lion says to you, but I saved your life.
And then you realize you somehow are still chloroformed and having a fever dream based on that last episode of Davy and Goliath you watched. Because you watch a lot of episodes of Davy and Goliath.
And you're like, well, like, I don't know if he was going to kill me. He was just going to rape me.
Well, then I saved you from being raped.
Boom!
Too slow, ML. Too slow.
Amazing. All the insight you have into my early life.
So there we go. Christmas shopping.
Christmas shopping.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. How long have we gone here? I feel like, we're at 43 minutes. I'll tell you what. Let's open it up to questions here in the chat room. Ask any question that you want to me or Brett. Germ24, Jerry, did you get your tree yet? I got the tree right after I did last week's live stream with Brett, and we decorated the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was good. We, like, put on the entire series of South Park Christmas specials.
Oh, my gosh.
Watched a lot of mountain lions.
Holy shit. They're, I'll tell you, South Park always is just, it's staggering. Like, at some point, South Park's going to end, and we're all just going to have to look at that breadth of work and say, this has been maybe the greatest work of comedy ever.
If South Park weren't around right now, is there anyone that you could point to right now that is doing a comparable job?
To what? I mean, like, you could say that there have been seasons funnier than South Park, easily. Mm-hmm. You can say that there have been shows on longer than South Park, mm-hmm. easily. I don't think you can say that there has been a show that's been as consistently funny or as long at South Park at all. And I don't know if we'll ever see that ever again.
I'm very optimistic, but I can't think of anything besides maybe
rare.
Like Archer that would be even trying. And Archer is not nearly as topical, obviously, as like South Park is.
Yeah.
All right, next question.
Yeah, so there we go. Is there a new creepy Santa or is there no creep in Christmas this year? No, there's no, well, there's just, of course, the annual visit from old Mountain Rapist.
We have the Go Game Mountain Christmas Rapist party tonight. Here. That might get very creepy.
That would be a Mountain Rapist Christmas carol.
A Mountain Rapist Christmas
carol. You have to leave tea out of, here's what you do for Mountain Rapist.
You have to leave like a tea bag. It's all about the tea bag.
You leave, well, no, here's, follow me. So yeah. you leave tea out,
mm-hmm.
and then Mountain Rapist breaks into your house. So like when kids are like when parents are, like trying to make their kids believe that Mountain yeah. Rapist has come,
they
like
bust they break out a window. The window.
And then Mountain Rapist tries your tea,
uh-huh.
and then if all right, here pretend like you're a sleeping child.
Okay.
You rape the shit out of that tea. And then he jumps out the window.
And then your dad busts in, screams, "Mountain Lion!" Boom! And then you're dead child.
What?
Because he screamed. Blood-curdling scream. Like a mountain lion cry.
And he thought that the mountain lion was sleeping?
The child did. No, the child did. Maybe. I don't know what mountain lions do in their spare time during mountain rapist season.
Mitsula says, "I'm not leaving tea out this year." All right. Oh, Creepy Santa. So, yeah, no, I think Creepy Santa is still with Petey Rave, the Turntable Slave in Miami, which is where I left him. No Creepy Santa this year, mainly because there's not a lot of outdoor decorations for this apartment. So that's where Creepy Santa would go. Although he never did go outside. I bought him and he lived in my room, which was extraordinarily creepy. And eventually that was vetoed by who I will euphemistically refer to as incoming talent. And there'll be more to talk about that actually later. Oh, Lonely.Geek might have him now. I think PD didn't take him back from Dragon Con. Oh, wow. Okay, awesome. So Lonely.Geek has him. So pester Lonely.Geek for pictures of Creepy Santa, because tis the season to be creepy. All right. Atari Nerd asks, what is a Mountain Rapist leave under your tree?
All right, so if we're following through on the same premise, you leave tea.
Yeah.
He tastes the tea.
And then he creepily approves whispers, or disapproves. Yeah, whispers.
So if he disapproves, then he probably, like, my immediate assumption was that he shits in a stocking, but that's probably not necessarily true.
I mean, also, there's some biological questions with that.
Yeah.
Like, how much shit does he really have?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like Santa. It's magic. Like, he has to visit all of the kids in one night, the Mountain Rapist. Clearly, this is not scientific.
What if it's not kids? What if it's something else? Like, what if it's, like, it's for, like, adults or people in their 20s or something?
That's really good. Like, it's for anyone that still has student debt gets visited by the Mountain Rapist.
By the Mountain Rapist.
And so if he doesn't like your tea, he leaves like the phone number of the debt collector in your stocking.
Like, no, he just scrolls how much you still owe on the wall.
In tea, like stains the walls with the number you still owe.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So the Mountain Rapist, of course, if you still have student debt, the Mountain Rapist. Because if you still have some student debt, Mountain Rapist is coming tonight. Oh, here comes Mountain Rapist. Here comes Mountain Rapist right down Mountain Rapist Lane.
That's good. That's good. I like that.
Smearing tea upon your walls for boys and girls again.
This is good. What time of year does the Mountain Rapist visit?
It's got to be Christmas.
Christmas?
I mean, like,
you don't think it's like around graduation time? Like a reminder, a big old kick in the face, like, "Oh, you graduated 6 years ago, but no. You still have this student debt." Eh?
No, cuz that's you're warned about Mountain Rapist when you graduate.
Uh-huh.
So it's like when you graduate and you're like you first look at that fucking Sally Mae bill and you're like, mm. "Holy shit." That's when you think like, I gotta pay this off or else Mountain Rapist is coming.
I also like to think that he has like no mercy whatsoever. Like, you graduated in June. Here comes mountain rapist season. And it's like, like, I just graduated. I don't even have a job yet. I'm like,
that's delicious tea you made, honey.
So, all right. So he looks at your payback habits and says, like, well, like.
No, he doesn't. No mercy. Oh, really? There's debt. Mountain rapist comes.
Well, then there's no positive interaction. I was about to say the phrase. Then wait, there's no positive interaction with mountain rapist? It's the always a negative?
The positive interaction is you make great tea, and then he leaves you be.
Even if you have student debt?
Yeah, he's not gonna, no.
So he's not just like you still owe 10,000!
Like, rather than checking a list and making it twice, or making a list and checking it twice, he makes the list. And then checks on its T, and if, like, the T is the line between naughty and nice.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So there
come
we go.
On. I can't believe how earnestly I explained that to you. No, Justin. This is how the mountain rapist works.
Oh, my God. All right. One more question, and then we're going to get out of here. We have a big Go Game Christmas party here coming up a little bit later tonight. On to Gaza. Here, I'll try to do it. Oversteeped! Brett Jury, can you tell ASA about the T forebodens policy, please? Who's ASA? Pete Elahenty, of course, very, very happy. WageSlaveForMonster.com says, oh, I should get ready for my office Christmas party. It's scheduled for never. One day, Pete Delahunty is going to leave his job, for which has been a constant source of consternation for him. And we will all be happy. We will all feel the weight of the internet lessen.
I shouldn't be surprised, but obviously all of the questions coming up right now are about the mountain rapist.
Mountain rapist seems to be a very popular guy. All right, you want to know what, folks? I will. Let's wrap it up right here. Thank you to everybody who came and watched the show today. If you want to, me and Brett will tweet up. We were talking about the tree. If you want to see the tree, follow us on Twitter at Justin R. Young. At Amtrekker, that is AMTREKKER, and you can get all that stuff. It's going to be hilarious. Until next week, what happens between now and next week? Probably not a lot.
Nothing.
Important. Oh, Christmas special, NSFW Christmas special. Oh, not awesome. On Tuesday, but on Friday. We are doing the live Christmas special featuring Brian and featuring a live performance by Andrew Bancroft with an original Christmas song for you. So get all up into the Christmas spirit this Friday on the NSFW Christmas special. No episode on Tuesday. All right. That about wraps it up. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, I do ask you very, very honestly and earnestly to please don't die.